यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
प्रभुपाद की जय। हरे कृष्णा। सो टुडे वी आर गोइंग टू रीड from a verse from Bhagavad Gita, 11th chapter, 33rd verse, 1133. Before I start, I want to thank Mother Mukhya, and I want to thank His Grace Pan Govind Prabhu, and also the whole community. There's so many friends of devotees who came out to help us with the memorial of our Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami. And I want to thank the whole community for the love and there's so many Srila Prabhupada disciples here who are like our parents, who are there to guide us and give us blessings. Whenever I go to someone and say, I need your blessings, and they would do like this. It doesn't happen anywhere else in this world actually. Because of their mercy, we can actually progress in our devotional life. So I want to thank everyone and from the bottom of my heart for actually accepting us in this community and giving us all the help to conduct this wonderful event today. So we'll start with Mangal Charna prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Mena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Vancha Kalpa Tirubhasya Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Padmebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyat Deshatarine जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna, 11:33. So since we are doing a memorial for His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, there are many verses I could have picked from Bhagavad Gita, but I thought of this verse because this is, one of my favorite verses. And it reminds me of my spiritual master, and it reminds me of all the wonderful devotees. So we'll read this verse first. You can repeat after me, one line after another. Tasma tvam utishta yaso labhasva jitva shatrun bhungshva rajyam samadhyam. Mayavete nihata purvameva nimitta matram bhavisavya sachin. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Therefore, get up, prepare to fight and win glory. Conquer your enemies and enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They are already put to death by my arrangement. And you, O Sabyasachi, can be but an instrument in the fight. Purport. Sabyasachin refers to one who can shoot arrows very expertly in the field. Thus, Arjuna is addressed as an expert warrior capable of delivering arrows to kill his enemies. Just become an instrument, nimitta matram. This word is also very significant. The whole world is moving according to the plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Foolish persons who do not have sufficient knowledge think that nature is moving without a plan and all manifestations are but accidental formations. There are many so-called scientists who suggest that perhaps it was like this or maybe like that. But there is no question of perhaps and maybe. There is a specific plan being carried out in this material world. What is this plan? This cosmic manifestation is a chance for the conditioned souls to go back to Godhead. Back to home. As long as they have the domineering mentality which makes them try to lord it over material nature, they are conditioned. But anyone who can understand the plan of the Supreme Lord and cultivate Krishna consciousness is most intelligent. The creation and destruction of the cosmic manifestation are under the superior guidance of God. Thus, the battle of Kurukshetra was fought according to the plan of God. Arjuna was refusing to fight, but he was told that he should fight in accordance with the desire of the Supreme Lord. Then he would be happy. If one is in full Krishna consciousness and his life is devoted to the Lord's transcendental service, he is perfect. Hare Krishna. So, I want to give you all some context of where we are in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna started in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita with a lot of anxiety and stress. And he had to fight his own relatives, his own kinsmen. I don't know if anyone here has ever fought with their own kinsmen, but he was in a lot of stress and anxiety. And in the second chapter, 8th verse, there's a turning point in Bhagavad Gita when Arjuna actually surrenders to Krishna. And he says, Karpanya Doshopahata Swabhava. He says that I am very weak, Krishna. I cannot make this decision on my own. I am confused about my duty. Please instruct me. And the moment this question, this statement made by Arjun, then the relationship between Krishna and Arjun changed from being a friend and a cousin to a master, to a spiritual master and a disciple. And when there is a relationship between a spiritual master and a disciple, there are always question and answer. And from that point onwards, whatever questions Arjun had or whatever doubts Arjun had, Krishna started to get rid of all those doubts in the next 18 chapters. Till the 18th chapter, he removed all his doubts. And he explained the process of Karma Yoga, he explained the process of Jnana Yoga, and he explained the process of Bhakti Yoga. But in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, something incredible happened. Arjun, who actually surrendered to Krishna in the 2nd chapter of Bhagavad Gita, by the 10th chapter, Arjun realized that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says he is Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all the other devotees also have proven that yes, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? And then in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjun requested Krishna to show him the universal form, the Virat Roop. But even after asking that question, Krishna showed him the universal form, but Arjun was bewildered to see that form, and he asked Krishna to come back to the two-handed form. And during that conversation, Krishna said in the previous verse, a verse before this one, he says that time I am the destroyer of all the worlds. And in his Virat Roop, he showed Arjun that past, present and future, everything is dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he says, time I am the destroyer of all the worlds. Right? The time, with time everything gets destroyed, and that time is me. And then right after that verse, he said, therefore, Arjun, you should fight. You should fight and be an instrument for me. Because during the insult of Draupadi, Krishna decided that all these warriors will be killed. He already decided at that point. But Krishna is smart, right? He didn't want to kill on his own. He wanted to, one, give glory to his devotees. So he wanted to give glory to Arjun, to all the Pandavas. And he wanted to make sure that all the warriors come together in a war, and then he would have them killed. So he already decided. So he, in this verse he's saying, be an instrument. By my arrangement, all these warriors are already killed. So you just have to be my instrument and act accordingly. Now, this is the summary, but I want to take you through a journey of few devotees who are Nimitta Matram, who are the instrument. You will hear this word instrument multiple times in next 45 minutes. So please be prepared for that. So the first, there are a few stories I want to say. The stories that inspire me personally, always, in being an instrument. The first story, first of all, are you all ready? Hari Bol, okay. I didn't hear a lot of Hari Bol, but that's okay. Hari Bol. Okay, so last month we celebrated Ram Navami, right? And when we talk about Ramayana, when we talk about Ram Katha, there is one devotee that we know always come at the top. Hanumanji ki jai, right? So I want to take a story from Sundar Kand from Ramayana, because it teaches us a wonderful lesson. This is the time when all the monkey army, the Vanar Sena, was right close to the ocean. Right across the ocean was Lanka. And they had to cross the ocean to see Mother Sita and take Mother Sita out of Ravan and bring her back. So they reached the shore of the ocean. All the Vanar Sena, all the monkeys were so disturbed seeing this vast ocean in front of them. And their commander was Angad. This was a small army and their commander was Angad. And they all got so disappointed. So Angad thought, how can I cheer up all the monkey army? And he said, let me ask a question. He asked a question to everyone. He said, okay, tell me who can jump, right? Or how far you can jump. And then all the Vanar Sena, you know, little monkeys, big monkeys, all of them started raising their hands. The little monkey said 1 mile, another monkey said 10 miles, another one said 20 miles, and then all the way it went through, and then it reached the point of Angad. Angad said 800 miles. That ocean was 800 miles long. So clearly, Angad can pass that ocean for 800 miles. But Angad said, there's a problem. I can go 800 miles, but there's also a question of coming back. I just can't come back. And the reason is described, the reason is not that he's not capable of coming back. The reason is that because he's the son of Wali, and he can be enamored by the golden city of Lanka. So there's a possibility that he may get attached to Lanka and never come back. So Jambavan was one of the warriors there. He's a senior person there. And he saw one person standing on the corner and not saying how far he can jump. Any guesses who that was? Hanumanji, right? So Hanumanji was not saying, oh, this is what I can do. And Jambavan went to Hanumanji. He put his hand on his shoulders and he said, Hanumanji, you can not only go back, you can not only go, you can also come back. And he reminded him of all the powers that Hanuman had when he was a young child. And then Hanumanji, by saying, Jai Shri Ram, we can all say that. Jai Shri Ram. By saying that, his size grew 10 times, then 50 times, then 100 times. And now Hanumanji is standing so tall. And in 3 steps, he went up the Mahindra mountain. In 3 steps. And all the monkeys are shouting and they're cheering him and all that. And there is a beautiful thing that Acharyas explain in this story. They say that this question of how far Hanumanji can go is an illogical question. It doesn't make sense for Hanuman. You know why? Because Hanumanji is like a Ramban. Anyone knows what Ban is? One who knows Hindi will understand what Ban is. Ban means arrow. Hanumanji considered himself as an arrow for Lord Ram. I will ask you a question. Can arrow decide how far it can go? Who decides how far an arrow can go? The person who is actually shooting the arrow. So he considered himself to be the arrow of Lord Ram. So if Lord Ram wants him to go cross the ocean, he can cross the ocean. If he wants him to bring him back, he can bring him back. So the whole, all powers of Hanumanji dependent on what Lord Ram wants from him as a service. Right? So what was Hanumanji? Hanumanji was an instrument for Lord Ram. Right? Lord Ram can use Hanumanji for anything. Actually, interesting thing is, they build a bridge to go from that ocean, one shore of the ocean to Lanka, whereas Hanumanji actually flew. So Lord Ram allowed his devotees to actually flew from one side of the ocean to another ocean, but on his own, he went on a bridge. So that shows that the relationship between Lord Ram and Hanuman, and how Hanumanji was such an instrument for Lord Ram. And also it means that the size of, like Hanumanji was big size, right? The big size defines the responsibility that Hanumanji was willing to take for Lord Ram. It doesn't matter if we become big. Becoming big is not a problem. But if you are not an instrument, then becoming big is a problem. And so Hanumanji was humble and he was an instrument for Lord Ram, and he can do anything for Lord Ram. So that is the first story. Now let's go to the second story for today. This story happens in Satyuga, and in 3 days we are going to celebrate Lord Narasimha's appearance day. Lord Narasimha Dev Bhagwan ki jai. You know, the hero of Lord Narasimha's story is actually Prahlad Maharaj. Right? In Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many chapters describing the pastime of Lord Narasimha Dev and Prahlad Maharaj. But there is more focus on Prahlad Maharaj. A 5-year-old boy. Prahlad Maharaj was born in a demon family. His father was Hiranyakashipu. Right? Being born in a demon family, but Prahlad Maharaj got his instructions from Narad Muni while he was in the womb of his mother. And when he was born as a devotee of Krishna. And when he came out, and even as a 5-year-old boy, he was instructing all his demon friends in Asurakul. This is not Gurukul, this is Asurakul. So all the demons were there, and Prahlad Maharaj, being a devotee of the Lord, being an instrument of Krishna, was teaching all these demons to become Krishna conscious. Because Prahlad Maharaj was being taught by these Asura Kulis the politics and the idea that someone is good, someone is bad, and there can be a fight between people. But he was not into that. He wanted to love everyone. He wanted to have friendship with everyone. He wanted to teach Krishna consciousness to everyone. He wanted all his friends to become Krishna conscious. So he tried to preach them, and he did preach them, and they all became Krishna conscious. But Hiranyakashipu always had problems with Prahlad Maharaj, because Hiranyakashipu hated Lord Vishnu. He wanted to kill Lord Vishnu. He was envious of Lord Vishnu. And when Prahlad Maharaj was dedicated to Lord Vishnu and he was dedicated to Krishna, Hiranyakashipu decided to kill him. And he tried many ways, many different ways to kill Prahlad Maharaj. He put him into the fire, threw him from the mountain, he had elephants go on top of him. He tried many different ways to kill little boy, 5-year-old boy Prahlad Maharaj, but he was totally unsuccessful. And then we all know Lord Narasimha Dev appeared from a pillar and he killed Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu had several boons and benedictions from Lord Brahma, but none of that mattered when Lord Narasimha Dev appeared and killed Hiranyakashipu. So, after Lord Narasimha Dev killed Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj was talking to Lord Narasimha Dev. He was giving his prayers to Lord Narasimha Dev. And he was requesting Lord Narasimha Dev. He was saying that, "My father Hiranyakashipu blasphemed you, my lord. My father Hiranyakashipu actually wanted to kill you. He said so many bad things about you. But I request you to please forgive him. I request you to forgive him." And that is the beauty of Prahlad Maharaj. That is what we learn from Prahlad Maharaj, this forgiveness. This is, Prahlad Maharaj was an instrument of Krishna's compassion. That is how we spread the compassion coming from Krishna through the devotees. And Prahlad Maharaj was very forgiving to his father, and he was begging Lord Narasimha Dev to forgive him. We can go on and on about Lord Narasimha Dev and Prahlad Maharaj, and I know in few days we'll hear so many stories and so many pastimes and so many lessons from this story. So I think we are moving quickly. Now we move to the third story. You can see the first story was from Treta Yuga, the second one was from Satya Yuga, millions of years ago. Treta Yuga was also millions of years ago. But you may be wondering, Prabhu, I want to hear a story which is near right now. I mean, this is millions of years ago. I don't believe it. I don't believe being an instrument of Krishna. What does that mean? And in one, I want to explain you a story of a devotee who appeared 128 years ago. Who was that? 128 years ago. Who appeared? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Right? So Srila Prabhupada appeared 128 years ago. Right? And he was born in a devotee family. His father was a devotee. And from childhood, he started doing Rath Yatras. Right? And started doing deity worship. And in 1922, he met his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And in that meeting, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada, he gave him instructions. He gave Srila Prabhupada instructions right on the first day of their meeting that he should preach in the West. What happened in 1922, because of that reason, we are all sitting in this temple hall in front of the deities. That meeting changed not only the life of Srila Prabhupada, but all our lives, transformed all our lives. Do you agree? Can we do Hari Bol on that? Hari Bol. So in 1936, Srila Prabhupada got again the same instruction in the form of a letter by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that you should go and preach in the West. And in 1965, Srila Prabhupada came to US, and we all know in 11 years, he built 108 temples, he wrote hundreds of books, he had thousands of disciples, and he changed he transformed the whole country, whole world actually. And he spread Krishna conscious movement all throughout the world. So Srila Prabhupada is an instrument of Krishna's compassion. We are all in this spiritual life trying to chant our rounds. We are doing deity worship. We are coming to the temple. We are trying to become more and more Krishna conscious. Because we know that by being Krishna conscious, by coming to Krishna consciousness, it can set us for the future. We can go back to Godhead. Or if we are not able to go back to Godhead, at least we'll make progress in our spiritual life. Because we know our spiritual progress will not go anywhere. So Srila Prabhupada gave us the most wonderful gift of Krishna consciousness. And so he is the instrument of Krishna's mercy, Krishna's compassion, and also Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's compassion. Because this is the disciplic succession. This is a line of disciplic succession. Nothing is changing from one guru to another guru to another guru. Everyone is teaching the same philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada, we have so much to learn from his life. We have so much to thank and be grateful for what Srila Prabhupada has given us. And he is the wonderful instrument for us to learn from. Now, I've given you the story of Treta Yuga. I've given you the story of Satya Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, and Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga, which was 128 years ago. And because today is the memorial of my spiritual master, His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, and I want to give you an example of His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, of how in the line of disciplic succession, how the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, like His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, is taking this movement forward. His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj was born in 1944, and his family was not a devotional family, but for somehow he got Bhagavad Gita from his sister. And then he was well educated, he was an MBA, and then he went to France for studies, and then he went to Montreal. In the Montreal, he got a letter, while he was in Montreal, he got a letter that Srila Prabhupada is coming to Canada. And with that letter, he went to the temple. And before Srila Prabhupada would come, he was already there. And the first thing he requested to the devotees there is, "Prabhu, can I do some service?" He asked for a service. This is a devotee, he's not become a devotee, he's not chanting his rounds, he's not coming to the temple regularly. But the first thing he's asking for is, can I get some service? And the service he got was to clean Prabhupada's room, Srila Prabhupada's room. And that room was given to, a lot of karmis were staying in that room. So that room was dirty. He spent 8 hours that day to clean Srila Prabhupada's room. And that's how he started his first service to Srila Prabhupada. In 1968, he got initiated by Srila Prabhupada. And his actually name was Gopal Krishna, and his name turned into Gopal Krishna Goswami. So, and from there onwards, the journey began. In 1975, Srila Prabhupada gave His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, he made him the GBC of India, the top position of India, to build temples there, to establish the movement, distribute more books. And in 1975, Maharaj actually left his job and fully dedicated himself to Srila Prabhupada. And in 1981, he took sannyas. But the real part of the story is all that happened after that. From that point onwards, up till now, he dedicated his whole life to the mission of Srila Prabhupada. And he touched each and every devotee's heart. That is the beauty of his preaching. He oversaw more than 215 temples all around the world. He distributed more than 100 million books, all in his zones. Right? He did all of that, right, while maintaining a very strict process of his devotional practice. Right? And by touching each and every person he met. He exemplified the process of Vaishnav Seva. He exemplified Vaishnav Seva. He is a personification of Vaishnav Seva. Right? And we were reading the other day that Vaishnav Seva is even higher than anything we can do. So he was an instrument of Srila Prabhupada's compassion. Srila Prabhupada came in 11 years. He established so many things. And he built this Krishna conscious movement. And he had so many disciples. And those disciples have more disciples. And this process is continuing. But the key thing here is, how are we taking care of devotees? How are we serving other devotees? Yes, we need to continue to preach, and at the same time we have to do Vaishnav Seva. So Maharaj actually spent his whole life doing that Vaishnav Seva. I was in Delhi just a couple of months ago, and I can see that in Delhi there are more than 20 temples now, and each temple has more than 10,000, 15,000 people, devotees visiting every single day. That's on a weekday. They have 15,000 people coming every weekday, and they have 25,000 coming on weekends, and on festivals they have 60,000 people coming. And there are 20 temples in Delhi. You can do the math. There's so many people are becoming Krishna conscious. The point is not to say that we all have to build temples. The point is to take care of devotees. And when you take care of devotees, you empower devotees. And that's what Maharaj did. He took care of them. He empowered them. He encouraged them. Right? And with that encouragement, they went on and did so many wonderful things for Maharaj and for Srila Prabhupada. So, there are few things that we can learn from all these stories. The stories of Hanumanji, stories from Prahlad, story of Prahlad Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, and His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. One of the first things we can learn is that we cannot imitate these devotees. We cannot imitate them. The only thing we can do is to follow. That is our Krishna conscious movement. Our movement is to be followers of our disciplic succession, our guru's parampara. That's what we do, we follow. Mahajano yena gatha sapanta. We have to follow these Mahajans, follow these great devotees. It's whatever is in the future, right? We can define that future for ISKCON. We can define that future for our devotees. It may not be exactly the same as what Maharaj did. It may not be exactly the same as Srila Prabhupada did. But it will be wonderful. It will be something special. The second important point is to be an instrument of Krishna, to be an instrument of compassion, Krishna's compassion and Srila Prabhupada's compassion. We need to have a genuine desire, an intention to serve. If there is no intention, Hanumanji had strong intention to serve Lord Ram. Same thing with Prahlad Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada. They all had very strong desire and strong intention to serve their spiritual master and Krishna. And how far and how much service a devotee does is based on that desire and empowerment. And the third and the very important point is that they were all very humble and confident. Usually humility and confidence don't go well with each other, right? When we think of humility, we think, oh, then I cannot be very confident. But that is what we learn from all the devotees, pure devotees who have dedicated their life for the mission. Is that they are humble, that means they're confident. They are very quietly confident. What does that mean? It means that they are dedicated to the service. They want to do the service. They have a strong desire to do the service. But at the same time, they are humble. They know that everything is under the divine arrangement of the Supreme Lord. So they don't get frustrated if they get some difficulties. They know everything is arranged by the Supreme Lord. As we read in Bhagavad Gita, right? Krishna, Arjun found out that everything is dependent on the Supreme Lord. So I just have to fight. I just have to do my duty. And everything will be arranged by Him. In the same way, we can also have a role to play in Krishna conscious movement. We all can have a role to play. And that role is dependent on our desire, on our intention. And we can define exactly how far we want to go and how much we are dependent on Krishna. If we are completely dependent on Krishna and we have the strong desire and will to move forward in this movement, then we can do lot many things, right? We can see Srila Prabhupada established 100 temples. Maharaj oversaw 200 temples. We can do more. But more doesn't always mean temples. More can also mean more Vaishnav care, more devotee care. More can also mean more books. More can also mean more education. There's so many different areas where we can focus on and we can learn from. So we can all be an instrument of Krishna's compassion, of our spiritual master's compassion, and we can take this movement forward. And that's why Krishna says to Arjun, Nimitta Matram Bhavya Sarve Sachin. Just be an instrument in this, Arjun. I have already arranged everything for you. So I will stop here. Hare Krishna. and see if anyone has any comments, questions. Yes, Hare Krishna. So I met my spiritual master, His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, in a Bhakti Viksha program. And I remember the first time I met him, I was mentioning it in the memorial also. I was like, he came in a Bhakti Viksha program, and we were all having prasad, and he was sitting upstairs waiting for devotees to come and meet him.
Where?
This was in Virginia. So he was waiting for all the devotees to come. So the Bhakti Viksha leader, he said, okay, whoever wants to meet Maharaj, please come. And I was just having prasad with the other devotees. And for some reason, I felt like I need to get up and just go. I don't care about prasad right now. I want to. I'm not like that always. I love prasad. So it was not easy. Somehow it happened. It's all Krishna's arrangement. So I told the devotees who were sitting with me, and I said, just one moment with a pure devotee can take you back to Godhead. And I'm a new bhakta, learning some philosophy, you know, saying big things. And I went to see Maharaj. And when I met Maharaj, I felt so much love from him, even though I've never met him before, right? And so he asked me, the first question he asked me was, how many rounds are you chanting? So luckily, because he loves if you say 16, so luckily I was chanting 16 rounds. So I said, Maharaj, I'm chanting 16 rounds. He was very happy to hear that. He said, okay. He said, where do you work? What kind of work you do? Okay. He said, where do you live? And he asked me all those questions. And then he said, okay, sit on the side. So he let me sit on his right side. And while the devotees keep coming and going, he just kept me there. He said, you sit here. And he kept asking me questions, talking to me, while all the devotees are coming and going. So he let me sit for like 30 minutes right next to him. And that was very blissful. That was the first time I met him. Now, first time I saw him was giving a Bhagavatam class. And I did not know who Maharaj is, what he has done, where he's from. And it was a Bhagavatam class he gave. He talked about Bhagavatam in a Sunday feast lecture, actually. And after the lecture, he said, okay, who wants a Srimad Bhagavatam set? So I was the first one to raise my hand and said, I want a Srimad Bhagavatam set. So I was so inspired by his class. So then after that, many, many years, for many years, I kept meeting him. And every time I meet him, I felt so much bliss. Just being around him was so blissful. You can feel the purity that he had, and so much care and so much love with everyone, not just his disciples. Right now, for the past 2 weeks, so many glorifications are happening all around the world. Every single day, Delhi Temple did glorifications for 5 days in a row, for 5 hours each day. And then so many temples, and we can hear so many stories of Maharaj. And now I'm realizing, I mean, I know my Maharaj is so special. My spiritual master is so special. But now it's more and more kind of coming in my heart. So yeah, it's so many things. I want to say one thing that happened recently. The last words that he spoke to me. So I was in Delhi 2 months ago. We went to, Maharaj asked me to come with him to Rohini temple, ISKCON Rohini. I don't know if anyone knows, ISKCON Rohini inaugurated the temple in Delhi. It's a beautiful temple. You should all see the pictures of that temple. So he took me there. That was still construction going on. And he said, there was one more devotee with me from Detroit. He said, we only have one room for both of you. And he said, I'm sorry, you only have one room. He asked me to come. And I said, Maharaj, it's okay. One room is good. We can stay in one room. So he let us sleep in a guest room with one more devotee. And I was there in the night. That night, I actually fell in the bathroom. That night at 2 a.m. in the morning, I fell in the bathroom and I got 7 stitches on the back of my head. And the devotees woke up and they took me to the emergency room. Wonderful devotees there. They took care of me and I got stitches. I came back. I told them not to tell Maharaj right now in the night. So in the morning, they told Maharaj that he was, and he was just a room above me. Sorry, below me. So I was there, here in this room, and he was in the room below me. So he found out and he said, I want to go and see him. He wanted to come and see me upstairs. And I said, no, I don't want Maharaj to come. I can easily walk. So let me go and see him. And I went to see him. And I told him, and he said, okay, what happened? And I showed him the stitches and everything. And the last words he told me was, Krishna saved you. He said, Krishna saved you. And I was like blown away. I said, Maharaj, this is your mercy. I was not saved by Krishna. You were there. You were there actually to save me. And he said, no, but Krishna saved you. So these are the last words he said, and I will always remember that he said, Krishna saved you. I said, not just Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj saved me by bringing me to Krishna Conscious Movement. That's what I thought. There was one more incident I can describe of his mercy. This was in 2022. I was in ISKCON Delhi. And he, a lot of devotees were going to Mayapur for Kirtan Mela and Gaur Purnima. So, and at that point I asked him a question. I said, Guru Maharaj, I've been teaching Bhagavad Gita for a long time, but I never asked for a permission. I never asked you, can I teach Bhagavad Gita? He said, you don't have to ask any permission. And then that went on for 3 days. I was there. Then on the second day in the morning, he said, why don't you give a class in ISKCON Delhi? And I've never given a class in ISKCON Delhi. This was, I mean, for me, it's impossible to give a class in one of the biggest temples in Delhi. But he said, no, he gave me his Bhagavatam. He said, take this Bhagavatam, go prepare. He said, go prepare for the class. He didn't want me to hang around and hear him. He said, go and prepare for the class. So for that one day, I had like one day, I think in the morning or so, he said, and the next day was the Bhagavatam class. So I said, Guru Maharaj, I'm not qualified. He said, no, go prepare. So for one day I prepared. The next day, the time came, and I was very nervous. And he came, there was Guru Puja in the morning. He came specially downstairs. And you know, his health is not very good. So for him to go up the stairs, go down the stairs, go up the stairs, it's not very easy. He came downstairs specially to bless me and said, he said, you'll do good. That's what he said. And then he went for a walk. And I was giving the class. It was very difficult, but I did it because of his mercy. And I came out of the class, and the devotees who were on a walk with him told me that Maharaj was listening to your class. He asked the devotees to play the lecture. Maharaj doesn't need to hear my lecture. He doesn't, he's been practicing for more than 50 years Krishna consciousness. He doesn't have to hear my lecture. But look at his mercy. Look at his, like, it's so powerful. Like, I was blown away when I heard that Maharaj heard the class. And then he said, you were nervous in the beginning, but then later on you were fine. And then he said, yeah, you should give more classes. So that is his mercy of, like, his, I mean, there's so much we can say. I mean, all we can do is try to follow his instructions. And I think that is, he gave 10 instructions, which I recommend everyone to read. Everyone should read those 10 instructions given by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. Because it applies to everyone in the movement. It applies to... Yeah, I can... So these are the 10 instructions. I'll quickly go. I know everyone wants to have prasad. So says this is in his will, the last will he wrote last year in November 2023. He says, always accept Srila Prabhupada as preeminent Shiksha Guru of all time. Number 2, always accept GBC as ultimate management authority and Srila Prabhupada's representative. Number 3, lead your life as exemplary representative of ISKCON and Srila Prabhupada. cooperate together with all other ISKCON devotees to push this movement forward. Number 5, when someone of you advance sufficiently to become gurus and sannyasis to work under the GBC authorized process, work under the GBC authorized process to take up those services. Number 6, which he always say, which he has been saying to all his disciples, he's been saying this to all his disciples. Whenever he gets sick, he says this. He says, never leave ISKCON. Think of yourself as member of ISKCON. Never fight with ISKCON. Resolve your issues internally in Vaishnava way. Number 7, never align with persons or groups not authorized by GBC. Number 8, which this is a statement that he would make to all the disciples when they're taking Diksha, initiation. He says, seriously study Srila Prabhupada books on regular basis. Always chant at least 16 rounds attentively. 25 rounds in Ekadashi and special festival days. Strictly follow 4 regulative principles. Work to make ISKCON a dynamic society. And number 10, continue donating time and resources to ISKCON causes. So, Maharaj is actually has played a role of taking Srila Prabhupada's instructions and brought it forward. And he has always been an ISKCON man. He's always been a Prabhupada man. And like I was describing earlier, not even an inch of his instructions come from outside of what Srila Prabhupada has given. And he kept his instructions very simple of following regulative principles, chanting 16 attentive rounds, and reading Prabhupada's books. Because he knew that we can become very complicated in Krishna consciousness. We can become very complex. We can read all complicated books and everything out there. But he says everything is given in Srila Prabhupada's books. We don't have to go. We don't have to just make things complicated. Make things simple. Let's try to do the simple things well. And then we can all progress in Krishna consciousness. That is what His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj taught us to all the disciples, all the devotees. And he touched everyone's heart. Hare Krishna.
His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj was very, very kind, and he always protected his god sisters, and he made sure that we were in good situations, like Aditya Mataji, who was his secretary in Bombay. He made sure she got a guest room in Vrindavan Temple when she was too old to do anything, and she could no longer type. He got her, and then even His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj's disciples, 2 of them are in the guest house in Juhu. And he also supported me in my service of initiating Guru. He really wanted to please Prabhupada by, he accepted, he didn't see like male, female, he just accepted us, everyone equally. And that was Prabhupada's mood. So he very much had Srila Prabhupada's mood, and we could feel that from him.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Just add a little something. In the 70s, maybe, I don't know, mid-70s, later 70s, Gopal Krishna Maharaj and Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked me if I would like to take out a ladies' party, the first ladies' party, which Narayani was on. In India. So I thought, well, sure, you know. And so they got us a nice truck, which I drove some of the time. Sometimes we had a driver. And we went all around Maharashtra, Gujarat, Rajasthan, and up near the Ranal Kutch, and it was like 100 some degrees. One book bag going this way, another book bag going that way, going all out in the streets. And nobody ever bothered us at all. We were never harassed. In fact, people were kind of amazed that we went out and did that. So that was very helpful because he was instrumental in making that happen. He encouraged us.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
And he was instrumental in making sure ladies gave class, Bhagavatam class in Vrindavan. Before, there was so much opposition, but Maharaj made sure that that changed.
Right, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj had just tremendously good qualities. And totally the last few years, living entirely on in a spiritual body, you know, because his material body was so sick that he was just being kept alive by Krishna and absorbed in the Antaranga Shakti, you know, the internal potency. I remember in 1989, my husband and I were left Miami, where we're going to go live in Mayapur. And we thought, okay, well, our flight landed in Delhi, so we thought, well, let's go to Vrindavan and get some blessings from Krishna and Balaram and Radhe Shyam first. So we were on the main road. This was 89. There was only one road at that time that you could go on. And Maharaj was coming in a car with several disciples, and the other, they were going to Delhi. So we passed him on the road, and he saw us. So he told his driver, stop that car. So the driver got out and he said, oh, well, look, they want us to stop, you know. So so my husband got out of the car and running up there. And Maharaj said, well, he explained to him, we're going to go live in Mayapur, we're just stopping. He said, no, I need you to stay in Vrindavan. You're going to be the vice president, and please accept this service. I really need it. I mean, it just shows how Maharaj was like on the, so much on the ball. I mean, he just didn't let any, you know, person pass by if he needed something. You know, and he got it done. I mean, so he efficient, you know, to the max. Utility is the principle. You know, do the needful. He was like, whoa-wee. He gave no meaning to that, you know. So that's what we did. We stayed for several years. That was Ruchi Sevana Das, who lives here also. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, ma'am. Ki jai. Ki jai. Ki jai. Hari Hari Bol.
Like to see.